Will you please open your Bibles this morning with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. I realize we just started a new sermon series last week in the book of Jude, but in light of this news that yet another family at Park Bible that has been so integral to the life and ministry of this church for many years is moving away, I think it's appropriate that we pause from Jude and address the challenge that is before us and receive what I believe is an encouraging word from the Lord today. So with your Bibles open to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, let's focus our attention on verses 25 to 33. Numbers 13, verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." Verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. It said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them." Our Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. We ask that your Spirit would come now and illuminate the meaning of this passage in its original context. And Lord, bring it across that bridge of so many hundreds of years into our time, into our circumstances, into our lives this morning. And use it to transform us to be more like Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen. It had been a year and a half since the Lord had miraculously brought the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. The law had been given at Mount Sinai, and the people were now at the southern border of Canaan, the land promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The place was called Kadesh Barnea, which means place of holiness. And here at Kadesh Barnea, the Lord told Moses to pick 12 leaders from the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, and send them into Canaan to spy it out. Verse 17 says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negeb and go up into the hill country and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So for 40 days, these 12 men would traverse over 500 miles to scout out the promised land. This was a recon mission. And our text this morning picks up with the account of their return and report to Moses, Aaron, and the entire congregation of Israel. When I received the news that Jim and Jen last week, the very day that we said goodbye to Jeff and Jan, when I received the news that the Rowlands would most likely be moving to Miami in just a very short time, the Lord in His providential mercy directed my attention to this very chapter, Numbers 13. And this text has much to say to us because there is something of our current situation today here in the experience of the Israelites. They were at a critical point in their journey, and their response to the report of the 12 spies would have tremendous, long-lasting consequences. 38-year-lasting consequences, in fact. So I want us to look at their experience here at Kadesh Barnea, the place of holiness. And please don't forget that. And I want us to learn the lessons that they didn't learn so that we can move forward together at this critical point in our own journey. And the first thing that we see in this passage is that God takes His people through tests of faith and obedience. Numbers 13:1 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel.'" These spies were not sent to gather information for the Lord. He knew what was in the land. He knew how the events would unfold. The spies were for the Israelites. And you know, God could have, He could have just spoken to Moses, couldn't He? And just told him exactly what the land was like. He could have told the entire congregation of Israel exactly what they would face inside Canaan. But He didn't. Because this was to be a learning experience, a test of faith, a test of obedience for them. And this wasn't their first test, was it? In fact, God had tested the Israelites numerous times in the short year and a half since the Exodus from Egypt, traveling to here the border of the Promised Land. And you know what? He tests us over and over and over too, doesn't He? Brothers and sisters, all of life is a test. Because that is how we grow. We don't grow by God just handing us unlimited provision, comfort and ease, and just making life smooth and painless. No. God takes us through difficult circumstances, trials in our health, hard times in our families, sad goodbyes, losses, lean years, all sorts of heart-wrenching experiences in order to teach us to trust Him and to obey Him even in the dark. And that's kind of what this year feels like, doesn't it? Like trying to move forward in the dark. If you had told me when my family and I first came to Park that in just over 3 years all of our deacon body would have either moved or would be moving away, I wouldn't have believed you. If someone had told us this time last year that by July 2020, life as we know it would be radically different, would any of us have been able to imagine where we're at right now in our nation? We're in the dark. And God is asking us to trust Him with the future, to trust Him with the very significant task ahead of this church to revitalize, to rebuild. How will we respond to this? Our own test of faith and obedience as not only individuals, but as a congregation. The second thing that we see in this episode here at Kadesh Barnea is that sometimes the majority report is negative. Look at verse 25 again. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. They came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. If you read on in the, or previously in the passage, you find they had to, these were massive, a massive display of fruit that they had to carry on sticks. This was a rich land. Verse 27, and they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." You see what they're saying here. This is an impossible task. 12 spies report back to the people that what God had promised about the land was all true, but He left out some details. It was a rich land full of fruit that flowed with milk and honey, but then there are two words that I want to draw your attention to in verse 28. However, and besides. Your translation may say nevertheless and moreover. Friends, however and besides, or nevertheless, or moreover, whatever your version renders those words, these two words are harbingers of doubt, unbelief, and ultimately rebellion. They are words that question the promise and the power of God to accomplish His purpose for His people. They reflect hearts that feared man more than they feared God. Hearts that believed in the power of man more than in the power of God. The spies acknowledged the richness of the land. But however, they spoke of the strength of the cities and of the size of the people. And if that wasn't enough, besides, we saw the Nephilim there. But the spies forgot the strength and the sovereignty of their God. Friends, the majority report was negative. 10 of the 12 spies said the conquest of Canaan was impossible. And you know what? They were right. You see, God had set before them an impossible task so that they would yet again have an opportunity to trust His mighty hand, to see His power on display in their midst. Israel had no hope of standing against the inhabitants of Canaan on their own. But friends, they were not on their own. The one who had brought them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty right arm said He would go before them. But, however, besides, they would not have it. Instead, they looked at the daunting circumstances. And they believed the majority report. And they rebelled in their unbelief. Look at chapter 14, verse number 1. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? They said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. The people grumbled. They complained. And they even turned on their leader, Moses. This was the man that God had sent to bring them from 400 years of Egyptian bondage. Their own Messiah type that they had prayed for. And they turned on him. And they turned on God. And friends, we're the same way, aren't we? When things don't go like we expect or like we want them to, in our own sinful flesh, we grumble. We complain and we turn on each other. You see, when we believe the report that the task before us is impossible, we buy into the negativity. Instead of maintaining an outlook of faith that God will once again do what He and only He can do and bring victory out of what looks like sure and certain defeat. So friends, we have to guard against negativity. I confess, sometimes I'm a grumbler. I'm a doubter. Sometimes I am very much a pessimist. I cloak that. Okay, if you know me well, you know what I'm talking about. I am a pessimist who cloaks his pessimism in what I call realism. Well, I'm just being realistic. We have to guard against this kind of thing. Do we only see what's wrong instead of what's right? Do we only see what we don't have instead of what God has given us? You look what was up here this morning. We have been given gifts, and they continue to come. So this is a season for us to lay hold to the promise of Jesus to build His church. And friends, that includes us. We are part of His church. To refuse to sink into negativity, to doubt and unbelief. Because friends, make no mistake this morning. The doubt and unbelief that the Israelites turned away from God in at Kadesh Barnea was nothing less than rebellion. A refusal to believe God and move forward with faith in His power. And it cost them. They would be homeless in the wilderness for the next 38 years. Until every single one of them, of the doubting, unbelieving generation, had died. Friends, let's not be like those Israelites. Let's not believe the negative majority report. Perhaps you've heard, I always like it when, you know, on the internet or Facebook, you get these fake news articles, and they'll say, you know, Tom Hanks died, you know, or some celebrity is dead. And here's the one that I almost broke my heart. Chuck Norris. I saw something a few months back that said Chuck Norris had passed. He's in his 80s, right? Saw that he had passed away, and I was like, oh no, is that true? It was fake news. Don't believe the negative majority report. The third thing we see in this passage is that fear creates visions of things that aren't really there. Now this one, of all the four headings of this message, this one pierces me the most. Fear creates visions of things that aren't really there. Look at verse 31. Then the men who had gone up with him, the him there is Caleb, okay? Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And so they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land they had spied out, saying, this land, it's spied it out. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. It chews us up and spits us out. And all the people that we saw in it were of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Enoch, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. The majority of the spies who scouted Canaan said that we are not able. Friends, these were not just random people they had pulled from the congregation. We're talking 600,000 men plus women and children, upwards of 1.5 million, close to 2 million people, some scholars estimate. These are not just random people that Moses and Aaron had just selected. They were leaders, respected, experienced men in their tribes. Maybe even warriors. And they came back and they said, we are not able. Why? Because they were afraid. Fear had caused them to see things that weren't even there. They said, the Nephilim are here in this land and we seem like grasshoppers to them. But friends, if you remember our study of Genesis several months back, we read from chapter 6, there are varying opinions on the identity of the Nephilim, but they were a race of unusually large warriors whose might and whose violence spread fear into the hearts of all those who heard them. But here's the thing, they were gone. They wasn't around anymore. Why? Because they were wiped out in the flood. They did not descend from the sons of Noah who came off the ark. They were gone. But when the spies, when they saw these descendants of Enoch, who were also a warrior type, people of formidable size, the minds of the spies immediately go to the stories that they had heard about the Nephilim. And so they said, we're just grasshoppers. You ever feel like that? You feel so small? But it was their fear that caused them to see things that were not there. There were no Nephilim there. You understand what's going on here, right? We all know what it's like to be faced with an uncertain situation that's scary, and our minds start to turn. And they start running wild with thoughts. And friends, it's the fear talking here in the spies. How often is it the fear talking in our own hearts? And what we need is to let our faith talk. Fear says the situation is impossible. We're done. We'll never recover. Fear says the situation cannot be conquered. But faith says that nothing is impossible with God. Faith says that God is sovereign. He brings dead things back to life. Faith says that God's power shines brightest in impossible circumstances. What uncertain situation is in your life this morning? What voice is talking in your heart? Is it the voice of fear? Is it the voice of faith? Friends, let's not let fear cause us to see things that aren't there. Let's rid our minds and hearts of the boogeyman that creep in on us. He's not real. He never was under our bed or in our closet. Do not be driven by fear in the days ahead. And lastly, number four, we see in this passage that there are always a few who believe God. Always a few. Verse 30. And I've been saving Caleb to the end. Verse 30. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." You feel the difference in his tone. "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it." You see, there were two spies of the 12 who rejected the negative majority report. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb quieted the people. And friends, that is what I hope and pray that this message does to our hearts this morning. Fear rises up. Uncertainty rises up. Doubt and negativity rise up. And we need to be quieted by the truth of God's Word. Maybe you don't. But I did. I do. Whether you're worried about this church, or perhaps you're worried about some difficult situation you're facing in your own personal life right now, let God's Word quiet your heart. Caleb said, "We are well able." It's almost as if he's speaking in disbelief of the other 10 spies. No, we are well able. And friends, that's my message to you this morning. We are well able. Not because of anything in us, but because of our faith in God and His firm conviction that He has a future for this congregation. In this community, which, by the way, friends, desperately needs, in Pennsville, a Bible-believing Baptist church. God always preserves a remnant from which to rebuild. Of the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt, that remnant was Caleb and Joshua. You know, Moses and Aaron had died, or will die later in Numbers, but Moses is forbidden to go into the Promised Land because of his disobedience. Only Joshua and Caleb of that initial first generation that walked out of Egypt saw and entered the Promised Land. The only two of the original wilderness generation who believed God. And friends, this is where this text is really about to get sweet. Because this scarlet thread that we've mentioned so often is about to weave through this episode. You see, Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. That was the same tribe that Christ was from. The Hebrew name Joshua is where we get the name Jesus, and it means the Lord saves. Friends, Caleb and Joshua are here in this text this morning to point us to Christ as the only hope for impossible situations. He is the only hope not only for our church, He is the only hope for any of us. He, Jesus, is the remnant here that we must find ourselves in today. And I want to ask each and every one of you this morning to be a part of this Christ remnant. To revitalize, to rebuild this community of faith for the glory of God and for the advance of His kingdom. We've got a lot of work to do. It's going to stretch us. It already has. But if we, by God's grace, will see this, the witness of this church preserved in this community, we will need to do it together in faith in the sufficiency of God's power. Are we going to be a church of Calebs who say we are well able? Are we going to be a church of howevers and besides who see the promise of the future but It's impossible to reach it. Let's be Caleb's. Let's raise the banner of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's raise it in this community, proclaim Christ as the only hope for this lost world. Not money, not medicine, not social or political reform. Friends, our culture, our nation, our world is looking for the answers in all the wrong places. We have the answer. We are at our own Kadesh Barnea this morning, the place of holiness. And friends, we have to commit ourselves to the sufficiency of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that His perfect life, that His substitutionary death in the place of sinners, His victorious resurrection is the only hope for sin to be forgiven and sinful man to be reconciled to God. And then we must go out and call unbelievers to repent and trust in Him. Now, whether that's in the church here, or whether it's on the street or in the line at the grocery store, friends, most of the work ahead of us is out there. That's where the lost are. We have to go to work out there. This is what we are called to do. Christ is building His church. Friends, don't believe the negative majority report. The church is not in decline. Christ told Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God has promised to be with us, to go before us. So let's move forward in faith together. Let's pray.